darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, with Jay Tross and Jeff Reed on tap to aid us bringing this program to you. Many of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, and I just want to encourage you to make that transition with vigor, with purpose and intentionality, that today when you get to your full-time job, that you will do so with a full-throated commitment to be a vessel, a conduit of God's glory cascading onto your family. Well, I'm so glad to be here to broadcast the program today, and we're going to start, as is our custom here, in the Word of God, in Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. This is just a little side note, because some people say Revelations. There really is no S at the end of that. This actually is the revelation of the Apostle John that the Lord conveyed to us through the Apostle John. If you know the account in church history, that John, referred to as John the Revelator, was such a robust witness for the King of Glory, that is, not the Roman King, that the Roman authority attempted to incarcerate him and to execute him by putting him in a pot of boiling oil, as we were taught through church history. And the boiling oil wouldn't take. John just wouldn't die. And so they then exiled John to the Isle of Patmos. And it is on the Isle of Patmos where it is attributed to John as having, first of all, received the revelation that is recorded now in the final book of the scripture. And John wrote it down and disseminated it to the church. And by nothing short of a miracle, we have that revelation for us to examine. And so we can say confidently that we know the end of the story because we read the end of the book. Praise be to God. And it is in the throes, in the middle of this revelation that the Lord revealed to John, that the Lord used John to disseminate to the rest of the body of Christ, that we have now passed down to us, that it is a nugget of glorious revelation for us. Isn't it amazing? A revelation in the book of Revelation. I told you before, when I search the scriptures, I feel like I'm on a soul-nourishing treasure hunt, that the Lord has goodies of wisdom for us. For example, the Proverbs writers, my wife probably already knows what I'm going to say. It says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. Not because the Lord wants to force us to force our pursuits of him to be laborious, but there's a complete difference when you have inherited a fortune and when you have invested your sweat equity in building it. And so it's just a beautiful thing that I enjoy, for one, and I hope and pray that you enjoy it as well. But in Revelation chapter 8, I'm just going to read it and just share my heart with you briefly on this. And I'll start right here in verse 8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Now, if you like me, if you grew up like me, when I read those words, holy, 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 there's a background, two different sources. From my upbringing, it's Fred Hammond. Holy, holy, the 24 all fell down, casting down their golden crowns, crying holy. That's what I think of. And in modern days, I think about the Carrie Job song, the Revelation song. Holy is the Lamb who was slain. The point I'm getting to, y'all don't turn into this program to hear me sing, because you let me keep going, I'm going to go off and you have a hard time bringing me back. Thing I'm getting to, and it's a long time ago, it's just as fresh today as ever. I remember I was reading this one of the first times, I won't say the first times I've ever read it, but the first times it ever stood out to me. And I just had a thought in my mind, how could they do this for all eternity? This is a picture of what is happening around the throne room in the eternal state that we get to get a glimpse into through the Apostle John. And the Lord just right in my heart quickened me by saying, though they are present, the 24 elders around the throne room, and though these worshipful attendees around the throne, that they're getting an additional glimpse of the throne sitter that provokes, it's a visceral internal response that is provoked based on this revelation that they're beholding on the throne that causes them to cry out holy. And these 24 elders, having crowns themselves, which are visible representations of their own authority and their own majesty and their own glory, but in light of and in the presence of the all-encompassing, all-surpassing glory of the throne sitter, they have to cast their thrones down before him. And it is, that is stamped on my heart to this very day. And the very simple encouragement that I have for you and I today is not to allow a day to go by where we don't intentionally take a moment to worship the Lord. To where worship, and I say it all the time, worship is a lifestyle. It's not, it includes music, but it is not limited to music. Let us not allow a day to go by where we do not worship the Lord with our lives, But I'm going to add into that, to if you have to steal a moment or two to verbalize a song unto the Lord. And let me tell you why I'm saying that. If we neglect the worship, and in light of this example we have in scripture here, that setting our minds and hearts on the Lord like this, it will... It will help us in avoiding the temptation to allow the Lord to become common in our hearts. Because the truth is, every day we get the privilege of meeting a brand new day. That's an extension of God's glorious grace in our direction. To where if we're not careful, the Lord can become just a common feature of our lives. And I used this analogy before, or this metaphor before. It's kind of like, you know, you go into your house and you have artwork on your wall and you get so used to what's in your home, it's your home. And then you'll have a visitor come by and say, oh, man, that's a really nice painting. And they'll point out something on the painting that's on your wall. It's in your house. It's been there all this time. But having a visitor who's not used to your home to point out something on your wall in your painting, you stop and think, huh, that is a nice painting. That's why I put it up in the first place. We don't want to allow the Lord to become just a feature of our existence. He must remain preeminent. And by intentionally confiscating, if you will, opportunities to worship the Lord, it will completely transform how you view what you're going through. And I know as you're listening to this program that many of us, we're at different places. Some of us that we are in a place of glorious rejoicing where we're at a great state where things are going wonderfully. Some people are listening. They're saying, Abe, you know, it's a victory for me to just get out of the bed. And I know that, and I understand that. And I've been in those places myself. But guess what? If you're in those places, can I tell you something? That the Lord is still worthy of your praise. I will bless him at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I'm reminded of Psalm 73, when the psalmist is writing and he's lamenting about all the negative things going on in his life. He's saying that, man, look, I'm trying to serve the Lord and do what is right. It seems like the wicked, they don't have any problems. He even says that the wicked, their eyes are even fat in death. You know, saying even that when they're dying, it looks like they're prospering there. They have the flyest caskets. You know, they don't get the little bitty cheapo caskets. They get the Rolls Royce of the caskets. And the psalmist writes, literally says, I was almost overcome until I entered the Lord's sanctuary. And I say it all the time. When we enter the Lord's presence, we get our thinking corrected. And when I say enter the Lord's presence, of course, the Lord is omnipresent. He's always present. But when we intentionally set our minds and hearts to consider who he is and that he is present in this moment, it will literally transform the way you perceive the moment. It will literally transform the way you perceive the moment. Because of life and the enemy's plans and wicked schemes, they are promulgated to try to steal the light and life out of the believer, because the enemy is not trying to concoct schemes to ensnare the unbelievers. You know why? Because they're unbelievers. He's like, I got them already. Let me make sure that I don't do anything that would disturb them into depending on and to rely on something greater than themselves. Let me just allow them to continue as they are. But it is the believer who he seeks aggressively. You know, as the Bible says, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so a part of that devouring, a part of that stealing, is that the enemy would love to steal your capacity to worship from you. And so I just want to encourage you, even again, as you're making your way home, take a moment. It may be for you prior to you going into your house. It may be, you know, when you go in. I'll tell you, with my family, I endeavor to have consistent opportunities of family worship where we gather and just take a few moments. It doesn't take long. And reflect on who it is that we're serving. Reflect on who he is in our lives. Reflect on his goodness. Not merely what he's done for you, because if I start going into what he's done for me, oh man, I'm going to lose it. I'm just going to tell you. Naturally, I never was a very easily emotionally stirred person. But when I start thinking about the goodness of God, man, I turn into a weeping baby. I'm telling you. I when I consider all of the things that God has done in my life and is continuing to do in this very moment, I'm undone. I can't hold it back. And so when we are able to cultivate a worship-filled disposition, where you see these elders, and man, and this is what I think about, that the Lord saw fit to have this wonderful jewel of eternal glory depicting for me, this picture of what these elders having their own majesty and glory and likely rewards from the Lord, and depicting them in the form of crowns, but in light of the surpassing greatness of he who sits on the throne, they're casting them down willingly at his feet. Oh, the Lord is so worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy in success. He's worthy when the raises come in. He's worthy when your 401k is blowing and going because the stock market is doing great. But you know what else? He's worthy when we lose that job. He's worthy when we're not necessarily certain how we're going to get the next meal. He's worthy when things get tight. He's worthy when things get tough. And what I'm suggesting, that if you would embrace his invitation to worship him in those moments, you'll get another glimpse of him just like the attendees around the throne room, where you can cry out, oh, Lord. You can cry out like Job. I'd heard of you before, but now I know you. That I know that the Lord is a consistent resource and reservoir of faithfulness in the high times and the low times. And by inviting and cultivating that worshipful disposition, we get the glorious privilege of having our vision expanded, where we really are able to live from the eternal vantage point, and we're no longer subjugated to the temperate, or should I say, the volatile nature of life. You know, the definition of happiness is that you develop an emotional response based on the happenings. You become a casualty or a victim of what happens around you. But living from a disposition of joy is that it is an internal heart disposition that persists regardless of what happens around us. This is all part and parcel to being worship-filled warriors.
He would have died from suicide. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Walt Heyer struggled with gender dysphoria because he was sexually abused as a boy. Walt later had surgery to try to look like a woman, but he was still confused. Yet with the help of two outstanding Christian therapists, Walt embraced a relationship with Jesus Christ and experienced true healing. He then wanted to go back to his original birth gender as a male and now is happily married and has been for over 20 years. But if the California bill now becomes law, Walt would not be able to receive life-saving counseling for people who struggle with gender confusion. If AB 2943 were in place, then Walt would have become one of the 40% who committed suicide after this tragic surgery. This bill is dangerous and will harm people. Please pray for Liberty Counsel as we continue to monitor it, and we'll file suit if it is passed. Visit lc.org. That's lc.org.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
And I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio. Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio. Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm excited because I have a guest on the program now who is the founder of the Patriot Academy. One of the things I love to do through this program is introduce the Hamilton Corner audience to a bevy of resources that are available to aid in the discipleship and the biblical worldview formation of our people. We had Dr. Jeff Myers from Summit Ministries on last week, and today we have the founder of the Patriot Academy, Rick Green. And the Patriot Academy is an elite leadership training program specializing in applied civics with a biblical, historical, and constitutional foundation. Students of all ages develop leadership strategies, life purpose plans, public speaking, and advanced communication skills, campaign techniques, and the Founding Fathers' philosophy of government. Mr. Rick Green, thank you for joining me today on the Hamilton Corner.
Hey, good to be with you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, my pleasure. So let me just say this right off the bat. Our own Walker Wildman, the assistant to President Tim Wildman at American Family Association, is an alumnus of the Patriot Academy. And Rick, if you would, just, I know I read a summary of what you do through the Patriot Academy, but would you let the listeners know what it is you do and what fired you up to get this thing started, having being yourself a veteran of the Texas State Legislature?
Well, man, just the fact that Walker came tells you we'll let anybody in, right? No, I'm telling you, he was great. We enjoyed having him. And the cool thing is you have young people from all over the country that come and participate in this, so they get to, you know, have the opportunity to build relationships as well as get skills. And that's a big part of it. I mean, you can learn how to speak well. You can learn how to work the political system. You can learn how to be good in business, all those things. But if you don't have the relationships, of people you can team up with that you can support, that they can support you, but you're just not going to get far in any area of the culture. So that's a big part of it, actually, is just the networking that they get an opportunity to do. But in answer to your question, you know, as a legislator, I got really frustrated with people saying, hey, I've got a biblical worldview, or I'm a conservative, or whatever the terminology was, but then turn around and voting very different from that. And as a student of the Bible and a student of the Constitution and, frankly, a student of David Barton for many years, I believe in taking a biblical, constitutional, historical perspective on everything. And then in my frustration, I said, what can we do to raise up a new generation, a remnant that really gets it, that's passionate about these things, but also has the backbone, once they get into that realm, that they don't, you know, cater, they don't give in to the pressure from all the different perspectives out there. And that's what brought about Patriot Academy. We started bringing in young people at that point where they're kind of developing their worldview, figuring out what they really believe. And at that time in their life, putting them in this sort of crucible of a leadership laboratory at the actual state capitol. And while they're in that and they're being exposed to all these different issues of the day, just simply saying, hey, come let us reason together. Let us teach you what the founder said about this. And then you run it, you know, with your own analysis and say, did this work? Does following biblical principles in the world of leadership actually produce better results than ignoring those biblical principles and just going with what feels good? And obviously they usually come to the right conclusion that, hey, God's way is not only right, it works. It actually produces good results.
Now, you said that you do this by using the crucible or the on-site laboratory of a state capitol. Tell our listeners a little bit how you execute the training and what that crucible is like.
Yeah, that's one of the most important parts of it, is that they're actually sitting in the real chairs on the real House floor, in the real committee rooms, debating on the real microphones. The process is exactly like a real legislative session. So if you came and sat in the gallery at one of the state capitals where we're holding one of these, and just watched them debate on the floor, other than the fact that they look pretty young, you would think you were watching the real legislative session. I mean, they have all the phrases down. They have the decorum. I mean, they do it just like a real legislative session. And I designed it that way because I wanted them, number one, to learn the process so that then they could monitor their own legislators, but also so that if they became legislators, they had a leg up, that they already knew the process and they could work the process really well. And in fact, it became so lifelike and real that now we have actual legislators that'll get elected in a primary, for instance, and then they'll come to Patriot Academy so they can learn the process really well before their first real legislative session. So it's very, very real. It's just like the real thing, and that's why I call it a leadership laboratory and kind of a crucible, because when they're, you know, they bring their own bill and they've got people for and against them, and we put the pressure on them, we question them. I mean, they have to defend what they believe, and it's very much like a real session.
Wow. Now, you said at one of the state capitals where you hold Patriot Academies across the country, is this something that is limited to one area of the country, or would people have access to this from all over the country?
Great question. They can actually come from all over the country to any of the academies that they want to, but we sort of hit it geographically. So we do every region of the country. We do one in Boise, Idaho for the Northwest. We do one in Arizona in Phoenix at their capital for the Southwest. We do Dover, Delaware for the Northeast, and then Tallahassee, Florida for the Southeast, and then sort of Midwest now. We're doing Colorado and Indiana, and I forgot Virginia. We're going to be doing that for the first time this year as well. And then our flagship, our National Academy, is here in Texas, because we've been here for 10 years before we started branching out. And so they can go to any of those regional academies around the country, no matter where they're from. So they can do it if it's, you know, closer and easier for them, or if the dates just happen to work out better, they could go across the country to another one. And then they can also come to the National Academy in Texas. That's the last one of the summer, is right that first week of August. But any of them are available. At 16 to 25 is our age range. So you got to be at least 16 years old and not older than 25. And you just apply right there at our website, patriotacademy.com. That's patriotacademy.com, and there's a list of all the dates and locations there on the website. And one thing I would mention, Abe, if you don't mind, is not just the young people, but we also have a military veterans academy, and that takes place at the National Academy that first week of August. And what happens is we fill up the House chamber with about 120 young people, 16 to 25, and then over on the Senate side of the Capitol, we fill it up with military veterans, and they can be any age. So last year when we did this the first time, it was so cool. We had late 20s guys that had just gone in and done, you know, one 4-year term. And then we had guys that were in their 70s that had worked at the Pentagon and been in the military all their life. So from 20s to their 70s. And it was so cool to see these folks that had put their life on the line for us, willing to die for freedom, then getting to see what it was like to exercise that freedom within the legislative process, and then getting to interact with the students so they could really see who they were passing the torch to. And saying, and they said over and over again, wow, I have hope now because I've seen in this young generation a group, a remnant that is passionate, articulate, they get it, they've got the right worldview, and they've got the backbone to go stand up for that worldview in the political realm.
Amen. And I want to share with the listeners a little bit of a letter that Rick wrote, and it's on the Patriot Academy's website, patriotacademy.com, patriotacademy.com. And Rick says this: every generation of Americans has the duty and privilege of standing guard at the watchtower of liberty. In that hour, they define themselves. Some have held their ground against all attacks. Others have slept or quarreled while enemies forced open the gates. History and the world are waiting to see what you will make of your hour. God has blessed America with a strong biblical foundation. The revolutionary strategies of our founding fathers have led to the most successful nation in the history of the world. We've survived attacks from without and within, though never before at the same time. Now we are simultaneously defending America from external enemies determined to destroy us and defending American principles in the culture battle here in our homeland. This is the hour in which your generation must answer the call to leadership. I encourage you, go to patriotacademy.com, patriotacademy.com, if you want to be a part of this training regimen that I believe is absolutely necessary to equip the leaders of today and the leaders of our future to be a part of the program. Is that about right, Rick?
Man, that was good. Yes. Thank you, Abe. And one thing I got to say, a lot of people will hear us talking about this and they'll think, well, that's only if I want to go into politics full time. I just want to make sure they understand this is for everybody. I don't care if you've ever been interested in politics before. You may want to go into the arts. We need leaders in the arts. A bunch of our graduates from Patriot Academy are out there now making movies. They're into music. They're actually taking God's word into those realms. You may be interested in being a pastor or going to the pulpit or going into ministry or going into business or education. Whatever it is, this is an opportunity for you to meet some other young people from around the country that you're going to be tied to and connected to for the rest of your life, and they're going to be helpful to you. And it's also a chance to just learn some really powerful, great skills so that whatever arena you go into, you can be successful at it. And then most importantly, really our goal is that you just become a good citizen, that no matter what you spend the rest of your life doing, that you accept the responsibility to vote, to be engaged, and just pay attention to what's happening out there and do your part as a citizen of this great country. So it's for anyone that wants to learn leadership skills and make some great connections.
Amen. I agree with that 100%. Thank you so much, Rick, for coming on the program today. We have to have you back in the future where we can do a longer interview.
That sounds great, Abe. God bless you, man. Keep up the great work.
God bless you as well. I'll do my best. And I concur with that 100%. Our American Republic was built on such a foundation where the founders expected every American citizen to understand our rights, understand the Constitution, understand how government works. And I'll tell you, one of the things that will happen when you're exposed to this type of training is that it will remove the veneer of mystification where you realize, oh, wait a minute, these are regular people just like me. Just as much as they have a say-so as what's going on, I have a say-so. So whether or not you become elected official, we still need to know how it all works, because guess what? We all contribute toward this formation and the continued building of this American Republic. So I agree, this is something that is for everybody, no matter what particular calling or objective or goal you may have. This type of training is for you, and I encourage you to pursue it. PatriotAcademy.com, PatriotAcademy.com. Now, you might have heard a little bit about this, might have seen some of the photos that are out now that Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, has had the groundbreaking meeting with Kim Jong-un that coincides with the release of three American citizens from North Korea. One is named Kim Dong-chul, the other Kim Hak-song, the other Kim San-duk. I have a little audio I want to play for you on this particular releasing of these hostages. If you would play clip number two, please, Jason.
We're talking about Kim Dong-chul, Tony Kim, and Kim Hak-song. They've been detained in North Korea. The president, as you pointed out, saying very frankly on Twitter, I am pleased to inform you that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in the air and on his way back from North Korea with the three wonderful gentlemen that everyone is looking so forward to meeting. They seem to be in good health. He goes on to add, also good meeting with Kim Jong-un, date and place set. I want to share one more tweet. As the president, again, talking about so much that's happening, he says Secretary Pompeo and his guests will be landing at Andrews Air Base 2 a.m. in the morning. I'll be there to greet him. Very exciting indeed. This is an exciting development ahead of the president's planned conversations with the leader of the regime in Pyongyang. We have talked at great length about what this might mean in terms of a good faith effort.
Now, one of the things that's so interesting about that, and I'll say this first, that Kim Dong-chul is an American pastor. Excuse me. An American pastor who was incarcerated since 2015 in North Korea. And the other two, they were detained in 2017 on suspicion that they were perpetrating, quote, hostile acts, end quote, while they worked at Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, which is a school that is run by an American Christian and funded by Christian charities. Now, they are on a plane that is going to land tonight, but really it's going to be early tomorrow morning, and President Trump is going to be there to greet Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and these three American citizens. Now, this entire current, it really has done two things. It has revealed the committed resistance to President Trump, how it is not necessarily based on anything objective in terms of policy issues. It's about the personality of President Trump. Because the New York Times had to, you know, this is Louisiana term, had to do a little crawfishing. You know, if you're familiar with live crawfish, they, when they get confronted, they walk backwards, right? So the New York Times had to walk back a snarky headline that they had posted because at the height of the furor surrounding President Trump's withdrawal of the U.S. from the Iran deal, the New York Times had a headline that read this, quote, at a key moment, Trump's top diplomat is again thousands of miles away. They go on, quote, senior State Department officials were momentarily speechless on Tuesday when asked why Mike Pompeo did not delay his trip by a day to be in Washington during Mr. Trump's Iran deal announcement, end quote. Well, you want to know why Mike Pompeo wasn't there? Because he was on a plane to collect released American citizens who had been detained in North Korea. And so now the unhinged nature of the New York Times, the fact that they are committed to opposing President Trump no matter what, you know, President Trump could, you know, come up with a cure for cancer and they're talking about, oh, well, it took him too long to come up with it. Now they have to do a little bit of crawfishing because they learned as a result of President Trump's tweet that, oh, by the way, Mike Pompeo is on a plane heading back to the U.S. after having collected these detained American citizens. I mean, this, in my opinion, that moment is representative of what we see playing out on the national stage. That you have people more invested, like the New York Times. You have media entities that are more invested in just trying to print anything negative that they can. That to get a little egg on the face moment, they end up having to say, uh-oh, we got to put a little amendment to that headline. And they put a little blurb up to say, oh, well, Mike Pompeo was out, I guess, doing something good for the country. So maybe we can't talk about that too much. So we had to back away from that. And it was an amazing moment to me that it just shows the Talking Snake Media is ever invested and ever committed to their agenda. No matter what happens, they must continue their agenda. Well, we're heading to the break, but when we get back, we will take phone calls this segment. And I want to share with you something because I am absolutely fascinated with technology. And I love seeing how our capitalist system encourages competition and encourages innovation. And if you have been in a place, much of the conversation concerning the modernization of transportation has been around government programs and light rail systems. Well, I want to introduce you to something that is happening as a result of the free market, as a result of competition and as a result of private citizens engaged in innovation. You don't want to miss that, so stay tuned to hear that, and we'll also take your calls in the next segment. You're listening to The Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife like me, you probably know what it feels like to live in a fishbowl. You know, that feeling like everybody is watching your every move?
The annual AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat is 3 days and two nights of relaxation and building relationships. The retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of Exploring the Word and his wife, Jan. Special guest speakers will include AFR morning personality J.J. Jasper and his wife, Melanie. The AFA Fishbowl Retreat is set for October 9 through 11 at the Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. Call 800-326-4543, extension 300, for registration and information. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300. Or visit repairingthefoundations.net. Registration is limited to the first 35 couples.
Get out of the fishbowl and into the AFA Pastor and Wife Fishbowl Retreat. We'll see you there.
Dualism in the Moral Revolution. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. In her new book, Love Thy Body, Christian apologist and scholar Nancy Piercy explains how the moral revolution taking place with regard to abortion, transgenderism, and sexual immorality is undergirded by a dualistic worldview where the mind is preeminent while the body's design is irrelevant. The truth about mind and body is found in God's Word, which says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our identity should not be based on subjective feelings, but on how God made us, and we should value and use our bodies in accordance with His design. Hear an interview with Nancy Piercy at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. It may be too soon to call it an all-out uprising, but the citizens of California are fed up, tired of having to take care of illegal aliens, tired of having one set of laws for Americans, another set for the invaders. The latest city to fight back, Santa Clarita, the first in Los Angeles County to oppose California's sanctuary state law. The Trump administration filed a federal lawsuit claiming the law violates the Constitution and puts American citizens in danger. Santa Clarita lawmakers officially signed on to that lawsuit. There's a general attitude among conservatives to pack their bags and head due east. But patriotic, law-abiding Californians should not have to abandon the state they love. And many have decided to stay and fight. And we must join their noble cause, a battle to reclaim the Golden State from the Democrats and the illegal alien invaders. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I have to share this during the break. G-Gal, one of the listeners, and she's actually in the turban on UrbanFamilyTalk.com. She passed a little note to say, well, for the release of the hostages from North Korea, did we pay $150 billion for them? I'm asking for a friend. G-Gal, you play for keeps. I don't want to play spades with you because you play for keeps. Well, that's hilarious. And of course, she's alluding to the fact that in reality, that money was paid in a little ransom setup as well, because it just so happened to coincide with the release of a hostage who had been taken by Iran as well. So that is pretty funny, asking for a friend. That is absolutely hilarious. But back to the story that I'm going to get to. And actually, let me give you the phone number now. If you want to be a part of the program, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Anything we've discussed or that we're about to discuss, because we're going to talk about some travel innovation, is fair game for you to comment on, ask a question, whatever you want to do. We welcome you to do that. Well, I was talking before the break about this innovation. I mean, I love seeing how America is always on the cutting edge. Normally, if we can get the government out of the way with regulations and things of that nature, when we allow our citizens to see what's happening, to find a need and fill it. I love seeing the competition, like with Samsung and Apple and all the various products. I love seeing how Walmart and Amazon are scrambling to try to outcompete one another. If you haven't noticed yet, Walmart has adopted a new free two-day delivery feature to their online shopping because they are obviously competing with Amazon. Well, there's a new invention that is on the horizons that'll be out pretty soon here. And it's not lost on me that this is starting out in Texas, a beacon of freedom in the United States of America, where the next stage of travel might already be here. Jason, if you would, play clip number one.
North Texans may be able to avoid some traffic congestion not too far down the road. Uber's air taxi service will launch here in North Texas, we are told. CBS 11's Jack Fink live in Frisco, which will be among the first cities in the nation to offer the service. Jack?
Well, Doug, customers will be able to board one of these Uber air taxis at a vertiport that's going to be built in this grassy field right behind me near the Dallas North Tollway, and they hope to launch the service in 2023. That's just 5 years from now. And Uber likes the city because of all the development here at Frisco Station and at the Dallas Cowboys headquarters at the Star. The Uber air taxi would be similar to a helicopter, but all electric. At first, a pilot would fly customers between Frisco and DFW International Airport. Then it would fly by itself. The company says it's too early to say exactly how much it would cost passengers. As demand grows, Uber envisions additional air taxi service. And Uber Air plans its first test flight in 2020. The FAA will have to certify the vehicles as airworthy.
Yeah, so there you have it. Uber is expanding into Uber air taxis. Pretty amazing. They released their plan to unfold this program just yesterday. And the Dallas-based Hillwood Corporation will build a vertiport for Uber Air. That's what it's called, Uber Air, at a new mixed-use development in Frisco Station near Dallas. Frisco is just north of the Dallas Metroplex. And they're now in the stage where they're testing prototypes to where they are using what's called, it's not traditional helicopters, they're using what's called electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles, EVTOL. Which I find to be absolutely fascinating. Their goal is, and of course, like most technology, it'll probably start out on the higher end of costs, but their objective is for the Uber Air costs to be right on par with the Uber X costs. So if you use Uber, which is the mass transit site, which is really has been developed much to the consternation of many taxi drivers, but you know, this is the innovation of things that are made available. I find this to be absolutely fascinating. There's a quote from Uber Air that says this, that the design is pedestrian friendly as the propeller blades are as high as possible, leaving ample room for individuals to board and deplane without having to duck. The high placement of the wings provides shaded entry into the cabin, shielding riders from light rain as they board. Finally, point of entry into the vehicle is limited to one side, simplifying ground crew operations and reducing confusion for riders when they approach their EVTOL vehicle. That's the electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle. All electric, not gas powered. This is pretty interesting to me. And so I have a question for you as you're calling in, and I may ask this as the callers. Would you take Uber Air as it develops? Their plan is to roll it out by 2023. Based on a little bit of research we've done here at the Hamilton Corner, they're doing that as a conservative projection, many of them expected to be available sooner than 2023. Well, they'll start with pilots, but they're designing the vehicles to operate without pilots. Well, they have one pilot at a vertiport operating them manually. So the question I have is, would you take Uber Air? Would you use that if you normally would have, for example, a trip from Dallas to the Fort Worth airport that could be, you know, an hour-long trip? Would you get an Uber Air that would take 7 minutes to get you to the airport? Interesting concept. I'd like to know what you think. 888-589 is the number to call if you want to be a part of the program. That number again is 888-589-8840. And we will go to the phone lines now. First to the great state of Texas, where Jay is on the line. Jay, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
I suppose I'd try it out before. I know if you're in Texas, a lot of the big talk has been the high-speed rail from Dallas to the Houston area.
Yeah.
And with mass transportation in general, I think the biggest problem you have with a state like Texas is once you get to those cities, it was never designed like, say, New York, some of these other areas who have the underground rails. Once you're there, you're still going to need transportation to throughout the city to wherever you're going to go. So,
I had an encounter with that because I'm from New Orleans, and New Orleans, we have mass transit, and a lot of people, you know, growing up in New Orleans, you can catch the bus almost anywhere. And I was there studying for the bar exam, and there's no bus transportation service like there is in New Orleans. So that is true. So how do you think something like Uber Air would impact, you know, travel in Texas, for example, is supposed to roll out there first from Houston to Dallas, you know, from in the Dallas Metroplex area? How do you think travel will be impacted with something like this Uber Air deal that they're discussing?
I mean, the only thing you're going to save, you know, as opposed to doing a rail is the land factor. You know, with the rail, you're buying up land or eminent domain. So you'd save some headache there with landowners and just having to get around that in general. As far as the amount of people you're going to be able to move from a short distance, you're talking Houston to Dallas. You know, the rail is the option. You're going to be able to put a lot more people on a rail and get them from point A to point B than you would with these helicopters, you know. So,
All right, thank you very much, Jay. Thank you very much. And, of course, what this is, obviously, this is private. This is not a government-funded program. This is Uber just adding another service to their offerings. So this would be something that will be a little bit different. But thank you very much for your call, Jay. Appreciate it. We'll go next to Arkansas, where Jeffrey is on the line. Jeffrey, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going very well, Jeffrey. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I was just gonna say that I'd be willing to try the Uber Air, but I don't know. I'd have to at least say that I would want a pilot. I don't know if I could trust the.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. Did you have something else you wanted to say, Jeffrey? Was that it?
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's very nice to finally see a president that will stick up for our people, regardless of what the people on top think. And it's nice to see the New York Times have to bite its tongue, too.
Yeah, Jeffrey, that's right. Thank you very much for your call and your comments. Yeah, the New York Times had to do a little backpedaling, had to do a little walking backwards. You know, and on that point, let me say this. I find it, and I'm going to see what you guys think about this as well. I find it absolutely, I'll say it this way, noteworthy that the president's nominee to take over the CIA, Gina Haspel, is being asked these questions about waterboarding terrorists, and most of the people who are asking the questions are the very same people who seem to have no problem at all with killing babies in the womb. Why such a great disconnect? And I'm asking the question tongue in cheek, but they are more interested in the way that suspected terrorists are treated on the battlefront than they are concerned about babies being treated in the womb. Don't you think that's a little bit something's not elevator not going all the way to the top there? Back to the phone lines we go. To the great state of Texas again, where Iris is on the line. Iris, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I just love your show, like all your callers do, obviously, but or 99%. But the bottom line is I wanted to mention about the victory of President Trump concerning not only the hostages being released, but the Iran treaty on the future elections. Primary elections are coming up, and I think that's such a boost because he has tried his very best to fulfill the promises that he made, one of the few presidents in the history that I remember to do that.
Yeah.
And what the timing of God, that I believe, you know, that God moves on the heart of men. And I think it's even interesting that these two breakthroughs would happen after National Day of Prayer last Thursday, because like many millions of Americans, I prayed earnestly for America and for our leaders. So I think that's also a correlation there. And then one more point about President Trump meeting these wonderful men of God at 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you think President Obama would have gotten out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to do that?
Good question, Iris. That's a good question. That remains to be seen. I think you bring up a good point. What impact will this have on the midterm elections? We are in midterm season. Yesterday we had Indiana, North Carolina, Ohio, and another state that had primaries yesterday on the 15th. There'll be more primary elections. What is that going to do? And to that end, I have this is a story here. This is real short from Jim Acosta, who's probably become famous now because of him tangling with President Trump over the fake news conversations. He's a reporter at CNN, and he tweeted something that I think that he probably thought would have been well received in the Twitterverse. And he tweeted a list of Obama policies, President Obama, former President Obama policies that President Trump has done away with. And he tweeted this, quote, Obama policies dumped by Trump, Iran deal, Paris climate agreement, Trans-Pacific trade deal, DACA, Obamacare individual mandate. Well, they had a bunch of people in the Twitterverse who said, oh, I didn't think Jim Acosta would be running campaign ads for President Trump. He said, he went on to say, does CNN have to report this as an in-kind campaign contribution? You have a guy by the name of Mike who tweeted, Iran deal gone, Paris climate agreement gone, TPP gone, DACA expired, individual mandate gone, which is why we voted for him in the first place. So just to your point, there are lots of people, who are taking note of the promises that were made on the campaign trail that many of them are being kept. So I just wanted to share that in light of the call we had just now from Iris, but we'll go back to the phone lines now where Ryan is on the line from the great state of Texas. Ryan, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Not the great state of Texas, but also Frisco, Texas. So I'm right in the throes. And all I'm going to say, sir, is they paved Paradise and put up an Uber Air XL parking lot.
They paved Paradise and put up an Uber XL parking lot. I got it. Thank you for your call, Ryan. Thank you very much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines as well to Tennessee, where Peter is on the line. Peter, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Abe. You are beautiful, and what you do is awesome. Thank you so much for all that you get out there. I just wanted to say I'm a truck driver, and I'm speaking generally on autonomous vehicles.
Yes.
But a lot of the technology in the newer trucks today have that stuff already,
mm-hmm.
And I've been in a particular vehicle. In fact, the one I drive now, frequently when I go over, when I cross the Mississippi River and go over those big hump bridges,
mm-hmm.
It'll pick up the beams of the bridge overhead, mm-hmm. And it'll slam on my brake. And then another vehicle I had when I was a particular time of the day pointing into the sunshine, it would absolutely blind it, and it wouldn't have any idea that there was a vehicle directly in front of me. And I mean feet, you know.
Wow.
A truck length.
Wow.
And so I just think autonomous vehicles are ultimately a death trap, and there's going to be, lawsuit after lawsuit that ends up shutting them down, and we're going to all be back in, 57 Chevys. And
thank you very much, Peter, for your comments and also your insight on the autonomous vehicles. And I know we have some other callers holding. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to get to you today. But if you can call back tomorrow, we'll try to bump you up to the front of the line for tomorrow's program. My basic approach to technology is, because it is man-made, I kind of take a wait-and-see approach. Like, I very rarely, not rarely, I never get the first run of anything, because normally in the first run, you have to work out all of the kinks, get all of the bugs and stuff out. So I tend to take a wait-and-see approach. I would be more inclined to, if and when this comes out, to do a lot more research on it after it's come out. Research all of the tests and things that they'd conducted before I consider that. And having Peter's input as a truck driver, he's absolutely right. Many of these big trucks the companies have already gone to autonomous vehicles for these big trucks using Tesla technology and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.